Welcome to the Care of Souls podcast with Dr. Stuart Scott and Pastor Adam Tyson. Dr. Scott serves as the executive director of 180 Ministries and professor of biblical counseling at the Master's University. Pastor Tyson serves as the senior pastor of Placer Rita Bible Church and adjunct professor at the Master's University as well. Visit 180ministries.org and masters.edu to learn more about their programs and services in biblical counseling. I'm your host, Mark Smith, and we're thankful to bring you this next episode on Care of Souls, in which Stuart and Adam discuss practical and profound principles from Scripture to help you faithfully follow Christ. Chapter 10 in The Exemplary Husband seeks to apply the leadership principles for men from Chapter 9. Since we husbands have been taught what God expects of us from Scripture, we're responsible to put a plan in place to do His will. It's one thing to profess agreement, and it's another thing to act on what we agree with in practical ways. Stuart writes, "As the leader of your household, you must first determine your personal and spiritual goals. For example, what are your and your household's educational and vocational goals? What are your ministry and spiritual goals? You shouldn't aimlessly drift from day to day, taking things as they come. Remember, all your goals and plans are under God's sovereign providence, and be sure to involve your helper, that is your wife, in the process." Now here's Adam and Stuart.
Well, it's great to be back in the room with you, Dr. Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Adam. Thank you. It's always a wonderful time hanging out with you and talking about these topics.
Absolutely. And I'm loving your book here, The Exemplary Husband. Read it years and years ago. Haven't been through it in just a little while. So what a refreshing time. And today, as we're looking at your book, we're looking at Chapter 10, which is about leadership, Part 2. Some of our listeners might remember a few weeks back, we looked at Leadership Part 1, and that covered some of the basic ideas of how to be a great leader, to be looking to Christ, and to be that kind of shepherd that God calls you to be as a husband. And then, Dr. Scott, as we move kind of into this chapter on leadership, what's kind of the pivot in your mind from Chapter 9 to Chapter 10?
You know, the change from one chapter to the next is kind of the 30,000-foot level. In Chapter 9, and Chapter 10 is, what does it look like on the ground with specific goals, specific areas of decision-making, things that you can do with your wife and helping to lead her. So it's more, we've arrived sea level,
all right,
a little bit more of a sea level.
Good.
Yeah.
So we're right on the water,
yeah,
and we got to put some of it into a little bit more practice and
mm-hmm.
use. I gotcha. Well, tell me, what is the goal of marriage? You kind of mentioned that, know what your goals are. And when a husband comes to you and he's struggling and you're asking him this question, what are you looking for in that answer?
Yeah, a big overarching goal of all of our lives as Christians is to bring God the glory due His name. So it's the sort of 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Or man's chief end, you know, as the catechism says, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the big overarching goal. But as a husband, now he's been given a responsibility to be the head of his wife functionally. So mm-hmm. we're equal as persons,
mm-hmm.
but now we've got this function, and he's got to assume that sort of office or function of the head of his wife and help lead her. So that now you're getting into goals now of how best can I lead her spiritually and prayerfully. And so we get into the more into the specific applications of how do I lead her as the head,
yeah,
a God-ordained head,
sure,
of 1 Corinthians 11, the head of every man is Christ, mm-hmm. and the head of the wife is her husband.
Mm. That's such a powerful passage, isn't it, to remind us of that responsibility mm-hmm. as a husband. And I love the way you just get super practical on page 132, where you talk about some of those things. I think a lot of times husbands take for granted what their goal is, mm-hmm. to glorify God and to be a leader. But I love how you just establish here several things that are just so imperative to a healthy marriage. The first one you mentioned here is just establish the Word of God as the standard for your home.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, hey, that's what a husband should be thinking. How does he do that? What is a practical way he would establish the Word of God as the standard for the home?
Yeah, he would be looking at God's Word to define the people in his home, who they are biblically, what responsibilities God has laid out in Scripture for him. It might be that when questions come up, the answer is, what does the scripture say?
Mm-hmm.
And just helping his wife, and if they have children, that's going to be the place that we're always going to. It'll be the plumb line of our home. We're always going to go, what does the scripture say?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where those who have a godly wife, a wife who loves Christ, but what a blessing to be united then.
Mm-hmm.
And that some don't. Some have an unsaved wife. And then with children, you know, that they may not accept it as part of their life if they're not a believer.
Right.
But they've grown up with, here is the biblical standard. This is where we go for truth.
Yeah, that's so good. You got to start with something, nothing better
right.
than the Word of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about that, establish the Word of God as the standard, and then you talk about how you need to establish how you'll provide for your family,
mm-hmm.
Establish how you will work toward financial stability, establish operational guidelines for your own household, establish ministry goals. So you just kind of have several things here to say, hey, these are things that a husband needs to lead in discussing with his wife and them sharing the same convictions on where they're going in those areas.
Yeah, and you can take the best of what maybe you grew up in, the home you grew up in, and you go, you know, I really like these. You know, my parents used to do these kind of things and were really good goals and objectives of getting the goals achieved. And she may like some of the things she grew up in, and you're pulling together. You can always change them, mm-hmm. some of the objectives. The goal of pleasing Christ and following his word is non-negotiable, but how we go about it may be different. If you have a special needs child, that's going to look a little different
mm-hmm.
than a typical child. A foster care child is going to look a little different. Some things you can and cannot do with a foster child is even in the discipline
right.
area. So just all of those things, the objectives can be flexible
mm-hmm.
and change them even as they get older. And so it's a growing time, but you're not just sitting here going, we don't know what in the world to do, and we have no instructions.
Yeah. Well, I love how in the book, that's what you're talking about. Know your own goals. Just real quick before we move to the next section, what if you don't have the same goal? What if a wife mentions a goal she has? It's not your goal as a husband. At that point, how would you help that couple proceed?
Yeah. Give me a specific situation.
Let's say the husband's goal is to get out of all school debt as soon as possible, and the wife's goal is to provide things that the kids need for school and extracurricular activities. So she's pulling for the kids to have a little bit more meaningful
right.
upbringing by extracurriculars, and he's just like, no, school debt's number one. We got to get it out.
Yeah, and I think you want to be a team
yeah.
as much as possible. And where do we agree? And so the agreement would probably be, we need to remove the debt. It's how and how fast.
Yeah.
And what are we going to sacrifice to remove the debt? And so where we disagree, then we're going to go into some of those principles of conflict, potential conflict resolution. Is this a sin issue? Is it a wisdom issue? And it may be a little bit more of a wisdom issue, because the last thing you want is say, you know what, we're out of debt, but we're so far at odds in our marriage that this is not pleasing and glorifying to God,
mm-hmm.
or hating every minute of it, or it's just tension in the home day after day, but we're getting out of debt. That may be the trajectory, a good trajectory, but talking together, and then it's one of the things we brought up. You may even brought it up, Adam. If you get into a stalemate,
mm-hmm.
Let's go to our elders. Let's
sure.
go to get some outside input, and not just from one person, but maybe from several in the church leadership, and just say, help us out here. We're
yeah.
kind of in a stalemate. We agree on this. How we go about it, we differ.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some input, and we want to be open and teachable.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that the husband who demands and going to lord it in to the relationship, it won't achieve the end
mm-hmm.
that he would really like to have. He's pushing his wife to accomplish something that she's just not on board with yet.
Yeah, it's so important in those times. Talk, pray, communicate,
yep. Yep.
be willing to let go of some of your, you know, your ideals.
Yep.
You can still achieve
yep.
getting rid of the debt at a lesser rate
right.
if that's what would be more conducive to helping serve some of the wife's goals as well.
Right, yeah. In the chapter before, it's not just a leader, you're also a servant.
Yeah.
And if you're only thinking lead and Lord, That's the wrong model.
Yeah. Well, you talk about know our own goals, and then you move into this next section about know the areas to oversee. You know, we are talking about the head of the wife being the husband. God's appointed him in that duty. And then you mentioned a little bit about one of the areas that you're to oversee as a husband is your wife's spiritual welfare. Talk to us just a little bit about how a husband is to lead his wife spiritually.
Yeah, he's not in charge of her sanctification. You know, that Holy Spirit's going to be doing that. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful of that, of going too far with Ephesians chapter 5. But he is concerned about her growth in the Lord. He wants to encourage her to use her giftedness, thinking of how at the church can, however she's gifted, speaking, serving gifts, how can she use those to not only build up the body of Christ, but also it's very fulfilling to be useful and fruitful for the Lord. So the spiritual welfare is just what friends does she have in her life? Are they helping her? Are they hindering? Books she's reading, things she might watch or participate in. You're just trying to help her be more like Christ. And she really has the same desires towards you, you know, as a husband. But that's just some of the practical things of looking in on her life. How is she doing? How's her walk with the Lord? Is she getting time to herself? If you have children, you know, as you even have, you know, several children, and when they're real young, your life can spin waking up till you go to bed at night. Is she getting the time to at least have some time to meditate, study, pray? Or is it constant spinning?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. What would you say the ideal of that is? I think we get a lot of questions about husbands and wives. Should they be reading the scriptures together? Should they be doing their own devotional time and then coming together? What does that practically look like? And then let's talk about prayer as well. So how can they spend time in the Word together? I'm talking about on their daily basis and in prayer together. How do you advise most couples?
And you know, this gets into the area of every couple, married couple, Christian couple, may do things a little differently. There's not a one way fits all. But when we first got married, we thought, okay, let's have devotions together.
Yeah.
And we started doing that for a few days and we went, no, because
I kind of miss my time.
I miss my own time, you know? I miss my own time with the Lord and prayer. And she said the same thing. And then we said, okay, what if we, you know, continue on with our own devotional time with the Lord's teaching and growing us. But let's come together, maybe talk about some things we're learning, maybe talk about the Sunday message and how that can apply. But maybe for us, it worked out really well for breakfast time to maybe read a short devotional together and then pray together in addition to our own time. And that seemed to work best. Some people go, well, I remember my dad would have a time with my mom at night, I think while they were in bed, or just reading the scriptures together and pray together. So each couple has to think through, how can we grow together, talk about spiritual things that are going on in their life? So it's not one way fits all, but if nothing's being done, then we've got to start somewhere. And those are just some, you know, short devotionals. Seem to work well where there's a passage of scripture and then some application of it with some prayer.
Super helpful. Not one way, many different ways, but just make sure you're both in the Word, sharing together what you're learning. That could be from the scripture reading, from the podcast that you listen to, the sermons that you hear, and then just spending time in prayer together. When you and Zandra have probably, you've said, adapted your schedule over the years of kids in the home, kids out of the home. Can I just ask, what do you and Zandra do for prayer right now? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's mostly in the morning. There are times when we'll just stop and pray about something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we're going through a lot of decisions right now, and so we pray about it. But the morning seems to be the best for us. I'm teaching night classes. Sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not. But the mornings are pretty much consistent. And so that's what we look for, is where is there a good, consistent, habitual, or a consistent time that we can get into a really good habit. But sharing, she can pray, then I pray. Certain things she remembers in her prayers, and I'll remember some things. And so it's a sharing and we both pray. That kind of a thing is work best for us.
And that is just so key. You'll be surprised how many couples that you know in your church, in your ministry, in the Christian faith, who don't even do that.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, what a mess. You know, Lisa and I, we pray together every night.
Okay.
And I'm confessing that sometimes it's a little too late and we're a little too tired. So we need to think through, you know, creatively how to bring some more energy to that time together, maybe earlier in the day, but at least we're striving to do that regularly.
Right.
And of
That's
course
right.
we do it, you know, around the table and with special requests from the kids and things that come up, you know, throughout the day. But I just think it's so important to have a little bit of time for you and your wife, a wife and a husband, to talk and pray together. That just seems to be so key.
Yeah. And you have to make that happen. There's so many other things that come up and how a person feels. We have found too, if I can give Zandra a heads up on something rather than, can we pray right now?
Mm-hmm.
And she's right in the middle of something, or just saying, you know, can we, let's plan on maybe praying for a short time or something we want to talk about. Just, she can give me a heads up. I can give her a heads up rather than change everything you're doing right now. Let's pray or let's read. It doesn't usually go well.
Yeah. Well, you're moving on through the chapter here, talking about different parts and aspects of leadership. Know your own goals, know areas to oversee. And then you come into this section about know when to act. And you talk about a little bit about how an established good leader is not quick to correct. On the other hand, a husband will have times when he should speak up. So that seems to be a real art to leadership, doesn't it? How does a husband know when to speak up and act and when maybe to just give a little bit more time?
You know, this book, An Exemplary Husband, is, as I've mentioned many times, is not an autobiography. I'm still learning. And I mean, it's been 40-some years and still learning. It's better to ask questions here. It's better to wait to address this issue, to be more observant of what's going on in her life. So some of these things of, you know, Proverbs 18:13, he gives an answer before he hears it. It's folly and shame. If I'm too much in a hurry and I want to give an answer and I haven't even asked the questions yet, that proverb mm-hmm. will probably be so applicable to me even all the way up until I die.
Yeah,
you know, it's just jumping the gun, thinking I know certain things when I haven't asked the questions.
So we're talking about knowing when to act. You feel like something needs to change in either a habit, a practice, a demeanor, and you're thinking about addressing your wife in this change. And that's where you're saying, before I just act to address this, let me learn more, listen more, ask more questions, and kind of get to the heart of the matter in those approaches before I start to say, hey, I think that we need to change this.
Yeah. And even if the action that was taken was maybe not the wisest one, getting underneath that and finding out what were you wanting and thinking, what was going on in your, may really help me understand I could do the very same thing. It's not like I make every decision the most wise decision, but it's ministering. It's trying to keep that relationship in unity and togetherness, that she's a partner, a companion. She's not one of the children. She's not a business partner. She's a companion, and how to just be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'd be the thing that the most men who are thinking much more product-oriented, get things done, a task, might miss the relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's what I didn't want to miss as I was going through here. Just be real sensitive, ask questions. Don't assume. So, yeah.
Yeah, those are good. And then when you act, you're going to act with, like, what, a loving statement from some type of principle in Scripture of how to encourage her to do it differently next time? Or when you are acting, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, it's sometimes it's just asking her, if you have a wife who loves Jesus and wants to do the right thing, they've already thought through, well, that wasn't a good thing to do, or I should do this differently next time. You may not even have to give any kind of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
They may already know, you know, yes, next time, this is what I would do differently. And just want to check on that, make sure that we're, you know, trying to honor the Lord as best we can with all the resources he's given us, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And then what if you get a little resistance? You're trying to help with a little change, a little nudge, And she doubles down maybe on that issue and says, well, actually, I don't agree with that. I think we should be doing whatever she's doing.
And I think rather than get defensive, which would be a natural default, you know, for us, is to humbly just ask, what is it that's troubling you the most? I mean, what is that reaction? What's behind that? It's not just you disagree, but let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And see if we can come to a like-mindedness and agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like Philippians 4 again, of help them to agree, to be in harmony. And if she says, I just don't agree, we've had those kind of discussions mm-hmm. on different things, don't agree. The more we talk, the more I'm seeing what she's saying, and the more she's seeing what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and the more we can move towards harmony.
All right. That's the goal for sure in that one, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Well, hey, let's talk for just a moment about leading the unsaved wife. Let's say someone's listening. They are married. I think that a lot of husbands know for a fact their wives aren't Christians because they don't profess to be. Mm-hmm. But maybe the even harder part of that would be a professing Christian where the husband's starting to wonder, is she really saved?
Yeah, this is obviously, I've not been there. My wife was a professing believer when we got married. Yours was as well. So I've not lived it, but I've counseled couples that have been unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. So it was wives with an unsaved husband who would actually come and sit in on some counseling. But more often it was the husband that was saved and the wife was not there. So how do I encourage him and to live with her in a godly way? And the passage there in 1 Corinthians 7, it just says, but to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who's an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents, and that word means to agree with, living in an agreeable way with their husband or wife, let her not send her husband away, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife. And that just, there's this blessing that's in Christ. In other words, God's blessing his child, and the unsaved person gets the benefits of that.
Right.
And not that he's right with God, but he just gets the blessings, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So there's a part of your prayer request is that they would come to know Christ. There's no promise for that. So that's the passage there of the Lord doesn't say get rid of your unsaved spouse, but love them well. Love them like Christ. If you sin, confess it to them. But don't expect your spouse, your unsaved spouse, to live like a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what's happening with a lot of marriage things. My wife won't do this and she won't do that. She lives for herself. She's not a believer. Don't expect your wife to live like a Christian, but you should. And so it's just trying to encourage them and help them as long as there's an agreeableness there.
Yeah, and I love how that passage that you read out of 1 Corinthians 7 also discusses that the children, you know, as long as they have exposure to one believer, then they have exposure to grace.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean that they're without Christ's representation in that home with just one of the two being a believer.
Right. And we've heard many testimonies, at least I have through the years, of an unsaved spouse coming to know Christ because of the godly life of their spouse. Mm-hmm. They just watched him and they were going, I was miserable, I was awful, and I was hateful, but he kept loving me, she would say, and he kept being patient with me, and God in his grace, you know, drew her to himself or him to the Lord through the testimony of a godly spouse. It doesn't always happen, but we hear enough.
What would you say to the husband who has just assumed his wife is a believer because she professes to be one, but as they go on through the years, he starts to really wonder, you know, I don't know that she really knows the Lord. I'm not seeing the kind of fruit that I would think I would see if she were a believer, time in the Word, time in prayer, repenting of her sins, interest in spiritual things. And he's kind of brought it up, and she just kind of pushes it aside as that's not something she really wants to talk about, and now he's stuck not knowing. I'm not sure if she's a believer or not. Would he act in some of these same ways? Is it important for him to know for sure, or sometimes you can't know for sure?
Yeah, if a spouse was professing but was not living it, there would be that gentle, loving admonition that if we're going to name the name of Christ, we need to follow him in obedience with a humble attitude. And if that's was resisted and it wasn't being lived out, I would encourage them to then seek some outside help from the church, mm-hmm. from leadership or godly women to, you know, could you speak into my wife's life, where the church can come around them to see what might really be going on there. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the church is the one that if there's unrepentant sin, they're the ones who start practicing the Matthew 18, if it gets to that point, mm-hmm. and then you would treat them like an unbeliever.
Yeah.
But it's not just one husband, a husband saying that to his wife or the wife to her husband. Is let some others speak into her life, maybe a Titus 2 kind of godly woman to her or a godly man to him.
That's helpful. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who sometimes just need to get help. And what you're saying is
right.
just talk. Talk to your pastor, talk to an elder, come in for some counseling, talk through those issues and see if they can bring some clarity to this situation from God's word as you examine the heart motives and what's really going on.
Yeah, because sanctification is a group thing. It's not just me growing in Christ alone, and it's not just a husband and wife growing alone. It really is a church, a corporate kind of a sanctification. Mm-hmm. You need the preaching of the word, you need the ministry, you need the spiritual giftedness of others, the small group. It's one anothering. All of that is part of a church helping, that a larger family involvement.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Scott. What a great chapter, encouraging to apply practical principles of leadership in all of these various areas with God's word in hand. So thanks for your help today.
Oh, you're so welcome, ma'am. Thank you.
Once we have a practical plan in place, one that is based on God's wisdom from his word, the priority now is to start doing it. And this isn't something that we can do in our own strength, but for something that we must depend upon God to accomplish as we seek to obey him and please him. Ultimately, we depend on God to transform us to become more and more like our faithful shepherd leader and servant leader, Jesus Christ. Our motive in creating a plan and working out a plan should be for the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom. Ask yourself, where are you as a God-ordained leader in your family and home, and how are you becoming more like Christ? We hope you were blessed by the Care of Souls podcast. Please pray for us at 180 Ministries and the Masters University as we seek to edify the church and exalt Christ through biblical counseling that is faithful to Scripture. Consider supporting 180 Ministries financially so we can continue to bring you sound wisdom from God's Word on these everyday topics. Visit 180ministries.org to give online and send an email to info@180ministries.org with your feedback and any questions. We'd be grateful to hear how this podcast is helping you. And we look forward to having you join us on the next episode of the Care of Souls podcast as we discuss exemplary husbands and excellent wives.